You're listening to the Hog Sports Network Daily Podcast. Now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Arkansas lost its first series of the season over the weekend. Bubba Carpenter in studio here to talk with me about it. The Razorbacks falling to Georgia 7-6 on Saturday and Sunday. We'll see how far they fall in the polls. Shouldn't be far. It was a real competitive series between a couple of really strong teams. We'll have more on that in just a moment, but first, word from Kendall King.
Proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design, with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Tough loss for Arkansas yesterday, 7-6 in 12 innings at Foley Field in Georgia. Razorbacks lost by that score 2 days in a row. You know, this was probably the most competitive series that they played this year in terms of it was the best team I think they played. Ole Miss has proven itself to be pretty good, but I think Georgia's just a touch better, especially from a hitting perspective. Man, you lose one-run games on the road, and it's frustrating, but, you know, it's you're right there to win both of those games. And so I think while frustrated, I don't know that you come out of that series real just down about your team at all.
I don't think so. And the thing is, Matt, the sign of a good team is a team that can go into a series like that and really not play well. Friday night they played a good game, but not play well Saturday and Sunday and still win those games. And even though we didn't win those two games, if you go back and really look at the game, a pitch here, a couple of pitches, a couple of big swings, and we sweep that. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And we didn't play well. And we still, I mean, we could have swept that series and at least won the series. But we could have easily swept that with just a couple of, like I said, a couple of pitches, a couple of swings. I mean, that's the crazy thing about baseball, man. It'll rip your heart out sometimes. But, yeah.
For a game that didn't include a whole lot yesterday, there's a lot of takeaways that you can have. One is that I think it showed how resilient of a team Arkansas is. I mean, they're down 2 runs going to the ninth. Ryder Helford gets a home run, and then Vejiva hit one over the top of the batter's eye, 441 feet to center to tie the game. It's the second time this year that we've seen Arkansas down to their last out in a rubber game on the road in the ninth inning extend the game. They did it against Ole Miss, obviously took the lead and won that one, and it felt like they were going to win that one yesterday by doing that.
You know, it's so I had a tournament this weekend, so I'm coaching. And I'll tell you what's awesome, Matt, is, you know, I'm at the ballpark and I've got Phil on in my pocket and I can hear the game and we're getting ready to start a game. There was a Tulsa team that had just finished up there from Bixby and all the kids are like, did Arkansas win? Are they winning? And so I gave them all an update. And those are families from Tulsa and they're all those kids are Razorback fans. Hmm. You know, like, woo pig, let's go. And it was just really cool. But to your point about this team, yeah, they're never out of it, and I love it. Even when we get down, I mean, we chip away. Next thing you know, someone hits a 3-run homer. You know, maybe we draw a walk, get a couple guys on base. But I just felt like, you know, I really felt like Georgia was just trying to give us the game mm-hmm. yesterday, and we were just so close, and just needed one more big hit or one more big pitch, and we win that series.
Now, on the flip side, they're an out away from winning the game in the 11th inning. And Aiden Jimenez, who's been nails for them all year, including yesterday for the first, mm-hmm. I mean, what he retired, the first 8 batters he faced, I think. He hits a batter, and then it ends up costing Arkansas the win in the 11th. They tie the game going to the 12th, and Georgia hits the walk-off. But hit batsman yesterday, two out hit batsmen ended up extending a couple of innings. One of them, Georgia, scored 3 runs, and one of them, obviously, they scored the tying run in the 11th. That's just those little things like that. They don't seem real big in the moment, but, boy, they can be killer.
Well, you go back and you look at in the 11th inning, I mean, he's trying to run a pitch in on him, obviously, and just got away from him a little bit. The only bad pitch though was the hanging slider that the guy hit to left center, you know, off the wall. I mean, Aiden's been he's been awesome, mm-hmm. you know. But you make one bad pitch and they make you pay for it.
So Dave Van Horn met with reporters on Zoom after the game yesterday, and this is what he had to say about the Razorbacks' 7-6 loss.
Yeah, it was a tough one to lose. You know, we didn't play good at all today, in my opinion. And win or lose, I was going to tell the team that I felt that way. I just don't think we played very well. I thought our at-bats were not as good as normal. I mean, the middle of the lineup didn't do much. You know, I think, you know, Cam might have got a double, but 3, 4, 5, and 6 maybe got like one hit and maybe hit one other ball hard. I don't know. It wasn't very many. And, you know, that was disappointing. But we did, you know, again, fight back, tie the game with one out to go. And it was pretty exciting there for a couple innings. And, you know, we just didn't want Aiden to have to throw anymore. That was going to be his last hitter, whether he got him or not. Obviously, he didn't get him. And, you know, that so it ended up being a tough loss because we had it. We're within one out. They felt the same way probably in the ninth that they had it. And then we hit a home run and tie that thing up. But, you know, I think we learned a lesson a little bit. It's not over till it's over. And, you know, hopefully we'll be a little better going forward.
You heard him say that they learned a lesson. I've always been a big believer that you can learn a lot more from losses than you can from wins, because if you play bad and you win, like if they had played poorly yesterday and they won, it might be kind of hard to get through to the players because it's like, hey, you know, we played poorly and we won despite ourselves. When you lose, I feel like for the coaches, it's like, okay, now we can get your attention a little bit of these things that we've been talking to you about.
You know, I've had that same talk with multiple teams, and it really is. I mean, sometimes you got to lose to really understand, you know, what went wrong. And it's not that anything was really bad. It's just that there were a lot of little things. And, you know, I told you, I examined the video, like the Zapruder film on the ball left center. Mm-hmm. You know, Davlin did the right thing, the double to left center in the 11th inning. He knew the ball was going to hit off the wall. He wasn't going to catch it, so he gave himself room to play it off the wall. And I don't know what it hit, Matt. I don't know if it hit a crack in the padding, uh-huh. But instead of coming off hard in one good hop, I mean, it like dribbled. And you know, if he'd have been so, it bounced like four times. So if he's a couple, if let's say he's 2 feet closer, it bounces twice, and the guy's out at home. Instead of bounce four times. I mean, it's just, it's crazy how that can be the difference in a ball game right there. But, and I'm not criticizing, he did the right thing because I've played a lot of balls off the wall. That's exactly how you do it. It just didn't come off like he thought it was going to come off, like a ball typically does. And you see a lot of guys go in hot and the ball gets by him, but I thought mm-hmm. he did it perfect, but it just didn't come back to him. If it comes back to him normal, he gets that ball on one or two hops, boom, he throws it to the cutoff man, he's out at home.
You know, we've had this discussion a number of times about how people want to construct a line. And I'm talking about fans. They always want to construct a lineup based on hitting. Hey, this guy's hitting 429 and this guy's hitting 172. And so it yeah. must be better that this guy, you know, he should be playing. When you see, I don't know if I'm going to call it bad defense, but when you see defense that's not up to the standard, like we saw some in left field this weekend, I think it's a good reminder that, hey, there's a reason that you put these lineups together the way they do. Sometimes it's good to sacrifice a little bit at the plate and gain something when you're in the field. They went for about the last probably game and a half this weekend with offense in mind. They got behind big on Saturday, so they took Thomas out because he was struggling. They put Davlin in center, put Carson Bowles in left. He had a little bit of an adventure on a ball that was hit to left. Yesterday, same thing with Kendall Diggs. They put his bat in there. They felt like he'd been hitting BP pretty well. They had Thomas out of the lineup, Davlin in center. Ball was hit to left. And with Bowles and Diggs, neither of their relay throws in were very good at all. And then you think about on Friday night, Davlin, I can't remember which play this was, but there was a play where someone hits it out into left field. And at Georgia, that you hit the ball in the left field and it can roll forever.
Right.
350 feet to the left field wall. It's the longest left field wall in the SEC, maybe the longest in the country. But he cut the ball off, and he kept a runner from scoring because of the angle that he took to the ball, and he was able to cut the ball off. I just feel like it was a perfect kind of example this weekend of why you put the lineup together with some defense in mind.
Well, it's like Moneyball. You know, I'm sure you've seen the movie Moneyball. You got to kind of weigh it out. Where are you better off? You know, is your center fielder, the defense of your center fielder, going to save you more runs than someone else would drive in?
Mm-hmm.
And it's tough. And then when you go back to left field, especially in Georgia, you know, I told you before we came on, I think left field's the hardest field to play. I played center and right my whole career from college all the way up through. First day in the big leagues, they put me in left field, and it is a different look over there. Especially when you get in a ballpark like Georgia, that's 350 down the line. That left fielder cutting some of those balls off, or there's just a lot more room to cover. I think it's a tough place to play. And you know, did it make a difference in the games? Who knows? You'll never know. It's easy. You can go back in a game like yesterday's game, and you can look at. I mean, there's so many things you could look at that could have affected the game or maybe not affected the game. I mean, it's crazy when you go back and break that game. It's the whole what if thing.
How close do you think Justin Thomas came to catching the home run ball in the 12th?
Looked close.
Looked very close to me. And again, if Davlin is playing in center, I don't think he comes close to making that play.
No.
And different physicality or different physical traits.
I mean, you go into a series like that and you game plan and you're like, okay, there's certain guys you don't want to beat you. You know, you want to watch how Burnett, Zombrowski, obviously, you know. But if you look who beat us, it's the 9-0 hitter hitting 088 or something like that against left-handed pitching. Yeah. I mean, if the ball's anywhere else but right where it was, he does not hit a home run on that pitch. That's just baseball right there, and that's the tough thing about it.
He said after the game that Gibbler had struck him out on 3 sliders the day before, and he said he wasn't going to sit on a slider, and he was waiting for the fastball, and he got one, and he hammered it. It's interesting. He's got 4 hits this year in like 35 at-bats against left-handers. 3 of them have been extra base hits. It's a double and 2 home runs. So when he gets a hold of one, he does damage, but he's had trouble getting a hold of him. Just a tough deal. I thought for Arkansas yesterday to only score 6 runs with the set of circumstances was it was a disappointing day for him because Georgia had 5 errors. Now, 2 of them were catcher interference calls. Yeah. Kirby Smart hadn't had as many interference calls as Wes Johnson's team had yesterday. But, you know, I mean, two catcher interference calls, 3 more errors. I thought there was a play on the RBI hit in the first inning that probably should have been ruled an error on the center fielder. They got a little bit of a home scorekeeper there. But they had 2 times where they had a runner at third with 1 out. They couldn't get him home with the heart of the lineup out at the plate. They were at the plate, and they couldn't get Davlin home from third. And in one of those, they had Aloy at second, and that was in the 7th inning. Just disappointing to only score 6 runs with all of the opportunities that Georgia's pitching staff and defense gave them.
Yeah, and I don't know if, you know, you look at Finley's start yesterday. Going into yesterday's game, I felt really good about the series.
His numbers were bad.
Yeah, I thought we're going to light this guy up. Now, it looked like he pitched well. Like you said, you know, I go back and I look at I watch the game. I YouTube it and watch it. You don't get to see everything. You get to see the highlights. But it looked like he made some really good pitches. When he needed to dial up a good pitch, he did. And it looked like several of the other guys out of the bullpen did the same thing. When they had to make a big pitch, they did. The one with Maxwell was a nasty changeup away that he struck out on. You know, and sometimes you tip your hat to the pitcher. You know, you try not to very often, but every once in a while you tip your hat and say, you made a really good pitch. But then, you know, I think we took some bad swings at times also. But that's, you know, that's part of it. But I really did. I felt really good going into yesterday's game about us winning the series.
The 3, 4, 5, 6 hitters in Arkansas's lineup, and these are players who have done a really good job all year. Bad game yesterday. 0-for-4, Maxwell, Aloy, Cahill Aloy, I should say, 0-for-5. Kozel 1-for-6, Brent Iredell 0-for-5. None of those players drew a walk. It's just it looked like a lot of uncomfortable at-bats. I don't know if it was pressing. I don't know if it was what Georgia's pitching staff was doing to him. But some of those, you know, like Iredell, he didn't look comfortable all weekend. I didn't think Maxwell looked very comfortable all weekend. Just kind of interesting because you expect those players to be a lot more solid at-bats than what you saw.
You know, I think every once in a while you have a weekend where you just get pitched really well. I watched Iredell's at-bats. I thought they threw him really good pitches. I mean, they didn't leave. It didn't look like they left anything over the middle of the plate to him all mm-hmm. weekend. And he looked frustrated. He really did. But they just seemed to keep, you know, fastballs in, you know, breaking balls away. Everything, there just wasn't any real pitches for him to hit, it didn't look like to me.
One of the things Dave Van Horn talked about on the pregame show yesterday, he said they've got to get out to better starts. I mean, and I started looking into this. Obviously, at Georgia, they didn't go off to a good start, really any of those three games. They scored one run yesterday in the first, but then Georgia comes back, and before you know it, it's 4-1. They were down by 4 runs a couple of times in game 2. They were down by 3 runs in game 1. They came back and they won that one. But even, Bubby, you go back further than that. Arkansas State last week, they were down 2-1 going into the fifth. The Missouri games, everybody forgets this because they scored at will when they got to the plate, but they were down 2-0 after the top of the first in game 1 of the doubleheader. They were down 1-0 after game or in game 2 after the first inning. And so, you know, it's I guess there is a little bit of a pattern there that they've got to figure out how to collectively, and some of this is pitching, I understand that, but there's also some slow offense in those games too. They've got to figure out how to start games better.
I agree. It's tough when you're playing a good team like Georgia if you've got to dig yourself out of a hole.
Mm-hmm. Especially on their field.
Yeah, especially on their field. I think their lineup is well-suited for their field, just like Vandy's well-suited for their field. Of course, it didn't work out too well when we were in Vandy, no. But, for them. But, and it's hard to put your finger on it. You know, we know Gackle got off to a bad start. I agree. I don't know if it's the at-bats. I feel like we put together some pretty good at-bats. We had opportunities to score early and just mm-hmm. didn't get that big hit when we needed, where that's one thing that we've been really good at in the past.
I think with Georgia, but again, this goes back before Georgia. I think with Georgia, though, their starters are all pretty good. It's the bullpen. When you get to the bullpen, that's when you feel like you can have some success. They just got behind too often this weekend. So, you know, you look at the rankings. I think Arkansas is going to be all over the place today in the rankings. We've got a couple of them that have been released. D1 Baseball's got them number 2. Baseball America's got them number 4. I think that there's going to be a real, you know, hey, where do you put this team? Do you put them behind Georgia? Do you penalize them too much for losing a couple of one-run games on the road, including one where they easily could have won the game? But, you know, I don't know that it really matters a whole lot. I think maybe the big takeaway that I have from this weekend is, well, two of them. Number one, the rankings don't matter right now. Mm-hmm. And it's all about being in the top 8 when Memorial Day rolls around. Number 2, I still feel like this is a good team. I just think they lost to another good team in their home ballpark.
Okay, well, let's add Gage Wood and Parker Coyle, which I know you can't do that. But I'm just saying, if you look at our team, if you add those two guys, it's a totally different weekend. I mean, really, when you think about it, just adding Gage and Parker Coyle, you know, those are guys that would have been in crucial situations. Parker would have been in late in that game. Jimenez wouldn't have had to throw as much. I don't know. I think we're a better team than Georgia. I mean, I think if we play them again, I think if we played them at Baum, we'd sweep them maybe at least 2 out of 3. I think if we play them later down the road, I think we're a better team than they are.
Now, of course, Arkansas didn't have Nolan Souza for the last, you know, 2-plus games. I don't know if we're going to play again this year. That did not look like a good injury that he suffered on Friday night. And you and I were talking about this. The frustrating part of it, I think, for him, and you think about what ifs, it didn't have to happen. Number one, if he hits that double on any other SEC ballpark, it's 15 feet over the fence.
Right.
But when you're hitting into left field, 350-foot wall, then number two, and I think probably the more frustrating part for him, is he should not have been running on a ball hit to that side of the infield right there.
I think that's the worst. That's the hardest part to swallow is you just go back and it goes back to that what if. what if the ball goes over the fence? What if he wasn't go to third right there? But, yeah, you can't advance to third right there. You know, it's him being aggressive. Mm-hmm. I think he saw the third baseman deep and honestly thought he could beat him to the bag. But it didn't look good. But, look, I thought Gabe Frazier came in and did really well.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought he did. If we can find him a helmet that fits him, I think we'll. But he's an exciting player. He's a fun player to watch. You know, he doesn't play like a freshman. He plays with a ton of confidence. Now, it sucks losing Souza, but it was good to see a freshman come in and do what Gabe did.
Does Souza get hurt if that's not on turf?
Mm-mm. I don't think he does. I think it's completely different because the way he slid on the turf, it's just different when you slide on turf. You're sliding past the bag. So he was trying to reach back and hold onto the bag and look like mm-hmm. the guy. They never showed a replay of the play.
Right.
I don't know if you ever saw a replay.
No, I never
saw it. Looked in full speed. It looked like the guy's knee went down on his shoulder, mm-hmm. but I only saw it one time, and I couldn't rewind it for whatever on the plus. It won't let you rewind right. it and look at it. But that's what it looked like to me. But to your question, I don't think it happens on natural surface.
The announcers on the SEC Network Plus broadcast, they said that they watched the replay, and they kind of said the same thing, that it looked like the knee went into the shoulder. I don't know why they didn't. I don't know if it was a gruesome type deal. Van Horn said on the pregame show the next day they had to pop it back into place. And so I guess there's a potential that it was just something that they didn't want the viewers to see. But, yeah, it's just – I hate turf. I really do. And I think that you get more injuries on turf than you do on grass and dirt. Whether or not that – I mean, whatever. But it just – I really hate turf. I guess that's where I'm going with all of this.
I do too. We played on it all weekend. I hate it. I absolutely hate it.
But that was fun on Saturday.
Yeah.
It's hot. Oh, it's hot for this time of year.
Yeah, no, the hotter the better. I love it. But I don't know. I try to be a glass half full, glass three-quarter full guy. In my mind, I thought, okay. I had a guy, Don Thomas, DT, played back in the day with mm-hmm. us. He coaches at Bentonville West right now. DT, when he would dive for a ball, and once in a while his shoulder would pop out, and they'd have to pop it back in, and it hurt like crazy. But, you know, he could play. You know, he could still play. I was hoping that was just a situation where the guy landed on his arm, it popped it out, they popped it back in, which it hurts like crazy. Mm-hmm. And maybe it didn't tear anything. But, boy, looking at Souza coming off the field, it didn't look good to me.
And Van Horn said in that radio interview, he said that he thinks there may be something torn. I think they're going to get him an MRI today. And so I would suspect that we know more about Nolan Souza and his long-term health probably by tomorrow after the game. You mentioned Gabe Frazier. He went 4-for-9, walked 3 times. So that's an on-base percentage of .583 during this series. Had a couple of RBI. I mean, the triple changed the game on Friday night. And, even one of the outs, it was a ground out that scored a run. And so you say, you know, he went 0-for-1 on that play, but I think in a lot of coaches' minds, they would say he went 1-for-1 on that play because he did his job. And so can he keep that up? I mean, how much of that do you think is just maybe momentum and adrenaline from you know, getting that opportunity, and how much of it do you think is sustainable?
I think it's sustainable. You know, think about it. He's a freshman going in to Georgia playing in the biggest series so far we've had this year. And it didn't faze him, Matt. It didn't faze him one bit. His first at bat, he hits a triple. I want to say it was a two-strike pitch. I think he got a pitch called up on him. Didn't let that bother him. Got a pitch, hit it to the wall. I don't know. I don't think that was a big moment for him. And I think now the only thing that teams will get on him, they'll get a scouting report. You know, the more at bats he gets, and if there's holes in his swing, they'll find them. But yeah, I think he's got a chance to be a really good player.
Yeah, I was thinking about, and I'm not comparing him to Peyton Holt, but remember the last couple of years, Peyton Holt, he didn't get a chance until the back half of the season, and then he just ran with it whenever he got that chance. And I wonder if maybe you're going to see something like that from Gabe Frazier, where it was just a matter of there was somebody, you know, that was playing better in front of him, but an injury comes, he takes it and runs with it.
Well, that's what you got to do. I mean, that's why we talk about the depth of this lineup. We've got more depth on the bench this year than we've ever had, as far as I can remember. You know, there's another play. There was a little blooper up the middle. I don't know if you remember that, where he came across over on the shortstop side of second base, mm-hmm. made the play, covered a ton of ground, called Aloy off, made the play. I thought that was a great play. Now, I didn't see exactly how far over he was shifted before, but boy, look, he covered a lot of ground on that. I think he's an exciting player. He got a chance to be really good.
Defensively, what do you see from him?
I think he's good. I think he's really good. I watch all the guys take ground balls pregame, watch them take infield. Mm-hmm. I think he's got a little bit of, how can I say it? A little bit of swag, a little bit, you know, like not overconfident. I think he's a little bit lackadaisical sometimes because he thinks he knows he's good. Mm-hmm. I watch him field ground balls, and every once in a while he doesn't really do it in what I call the Dave Van Horn way, you know, but he gets the job done.
Double plays, I think that's one of the – and Van Horn talked about this on the pregame show the other day. That's one area where he's going to have to get a lot better to play up to Sousa's standard defensively.
Yeah, I mean, he's filling some big shoes right there. Look at the ground Sousa can cover. Of course, Gabe covers a lot of ground, but I think as far as just glove skills, I tell you, he's good with the glove. I mean, he's really good. Now, you know, as far as turning two, yeah, he's not Sousa yet, but I think he's got a chance to be really good. He might be a future shortstop for us.
He was hitting .077 going into that Missouri State game on a Tuesday night, and, you know, since then, and that was in limited at-bats, I understand that, but he had a couple of hits that night, had a grand slam, had a hit last week against Missouri, obviously had the four hits against Georgia. He's raised his average up to .267. I think that they may have found something. To me, I don't know that they had anywhere on this team a more suitable replacement for somebody who got hurt. And you don't ever want anybody to get hurt and to take somebody off your bench. I understand that. But like, if there was one position where you said, hey, we could maybe withstand a blow right here, I think it's probably second base with Frazier and Sousa.
Yeah, I think you're right. Now, we'll have to see if it keeps up. But like I said, I feel really good about him because I don't think there's any pressure. I don't think he feels pressure. I think he knows he's good. And confidence, the game's mental, 90% mental, right? So he's got that part under control. He knows he's a good player, so just go out there and just keep doing what he did.
He can throw with his left arm pretty good. I know that. Remember in the preseason, he had the shoulder injury, and so he couldn't throw with his right arm.
Yeah.
And so he would, you know, they would go through the plays, and then he would take the glove off, put the ball in his left hand, and throw it back in. I mean, it was pretty good left-handed throw. I don't know what that has anything to do with anything. It's just a little tidbit.
It's good. That's good to know. Maybe next year with rosters going to 34, he could he'd come in as a left-handed pitcher.
Well, you know, and he didn't get a lot. He didn't get a lot of defensive. He wasn't able to play defense 100% a whole lot in the preseason. I guess what I'm trying to say there because of the shoulder injury, and so you know, maybe even now what we're seeing is not 100% of what he could be defensively. It'll be interesting to see if he gets any better in that regard. When we come back, we'll talk about Ryder Helfrich's home run power, what's going to happen with Gabe Gackel, Aiden Jimenez, Christian Fausch's reemergence, and much more. But first, another word from Kendall King.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are Design.
Hey, welcome back. I want to tell you about our friends at Bentonville Glass. They've been serving their community since 1971. Committed, professional, versatile. If you're looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas, or looking for skilled craftsmanship, look no further than Bentonville Glass for all your glass market needs with the highest quality products. You can come by and see them now at 507 South Main in Bentonville or online at bentonvilleglass.com. whole-hog-sports.com. I'll tell you, too, you can get the latest breaking news on all Razorback sports at whole-hog-sports.com. Most in-depth source for all Arkansas sports analysis, latest in recruiting, unique stories on all your favorite teams. We've got stories there on the website right now on several sports from the weekend, whether it be softball's series win over South Carolina at Bolgan Park, coverage from the spring football scrimmage on Saturday. You can find all of that and subscribe at wholehogsports.com. I thought one of the more positive developments out of the weekend, Bubba, was the power that Ryder Helfrich showed. He, in the Cape Cod League last year, when Vahiva Aloy left, Helfrich took over all the power leads. I mean, he was like right at the top last year in home runs and OPS, RBI, everything at Cape Cod. We haven't seen it all year, but it feels like maybe we've been seeing it a little bit more in the last couple of weeks. And then obviously it came out in a big way over the weekend, three home runs, two of them yesterday.
Yeah, I know he's been working really hard on his direction. He was getting around a lot of balls. So I know he's worked really hard on staying center, right center. And took some really good swings this weekend. He had some good at bats. I mean, I think he's trending in the right way.
I don't know if his gloves got dirty or not, but did you notice one of those home runs he hit with no batting gloves?
No, I didn't see that. I didn't notice.
He barehanded, spit on his hands a couple of times, and let it rip.
Love it. I love it. Anyone that hits without batting gloves, I'm a big fan of.
I went back to look to see because I've recalled him hitting without batting gloves before. But it wasn't like one of those deals where, you know, I felt like I've seen it every at bat of his. And all the pictures that we have of him this year have him with batting gloves on. And then yesterday he wore batting gloves. So I don't know what happened there, but I would be interested to know.
I don't know. But if I hit a home run with no batting gloves, you probably wouldn't see me wearing batting gloves the next day. I'm a little bit superstitious.
Yeah, I understand that. So there's going to be a lot of talk this week about what do you do with Gabe Gackle, because he's just not pitching well right now in that starting role. And even before yesterday's game, Dave Van Horn mentioned that there's probably going to need to be, quote, an adjustment made to the weekend rotation, which leads me to think that he's not going to pitch in a starting role, at least this weekend against A&M, and we'll see what happens moving forward. These are some quotes from Van Horn. He said, quote, it's not going very good for him at all, at least as a starter, so we'll probably make an adjustment in the future. He said he's got to be more consistent, got to come out of the gate throwing better, finishing people off. He's right there to do it. Then he starts nibbling, and the pitch count gets up. Maybe we just need to make a change with the way we use him for a while and see how it goes.
Well, you and I have talked about it. I really hoped he would get it going, but there's just something not there right now. He's just his control. He's deep in a lot of counts, and then when he does get a hit, it seems like he leaves an 0-2 pitch over the middle of the plate. You know, so it's time. I think Dave and Matt have been really really patient trying to get him to work through it because they know he's got the ability, but him. Maybe it's time. A different role might be something that'll change things. You know, you got Gage coming back. Of course, he's got to work back up to a pitch count. But you got a lot of guys that could step in that role. I mean, you look at Jimenez. He might be a guy that could jump in that starting role. Even at Dylan Carter. Dylan looked great over the weekend. I want to say he threw two innings, five Ks. Mm-hmm. Dylan's looked really good. So I don't know. But there's guys that could jump in there and do a job.
I think you're hesitant to take Jimenez out of the bullpen because he's so valuable at the back end.
Okay, I love Jimenez coming in after Root on Fridays because typically your Friday game is the game that's really tight. You want to win that first game. So I agree. It's really hard to take him out of that role, and you can use him twice like they did this weekend. If you don't have to throw him a lot on Friday, you can bring him back on Sunday. So I agree. It's tough to take him out. I don't know if they're ready to put Bibee in that role yet, but – you know, Dylan Carter has looked really good. So, I mean, what would you do?
This week is tough because you have the short week that compounds everything. I would not be surprised. I don't know if this is going to happen, but I wouldn't be surprised to see maybe Root Thursday against A&M, TBA Friday, Beidelsees Saturday. Because I don't know that you want Beidelsees throwing on two fewer days of rest. I don't. Maybe you see how things go on Thursday and what your pitching staff looks like then, and then you make a decision on who's going to start. And maybe it's not a traditional starter. Maybe it's more of an opener type.
Yeah. I think a lot of it depends on how Zach does on Thursday. I mean,
if Colin Fisher is one that they've been trying to build up into a weekend starter too, but I don't know that you want to go left on the weekend.
No, I don't think you want to go left. That's just, hitters, they start to settle in. You see too many lefties and they all kind of morph together, even though technically all three of those guys are three completely different pitchers. I think they're still coming from the left side. So I don't know if that's something that they would want to do.
It's going to be fascinating to see how they handle this. They got to get through UAPB tomorrow night. And by the way, I looked at UAPB stats today. Boy, they're a tough team. And tough as in tough to watch. They're 8-26 on a 3-game winning streak.
Well, congratulations on the 3-game winning streak. They're getting hot at the right time.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, you look at the numbers: 8.81 ERA, a 2.21 WHIP, 9.50 fielding percentage. Everything about this screams Arkansas to run these guys off the field tomorrow night.
Yeah, I mean,
you never know.
You would hope
Tuesdays
so,
are weird.
Tuesdays get crazy. It doesn't matter who you're playing, but yeah, I feel like it'll be a good game for us to go out and let some of these guys get their swag back. You know, we got a few guys in the middle of the lineup. Hopefully they're in the lineup and they get their mojo back.
Gackle, this is five times now in his last, I think, seven starts that he's had to throw 30 or more pitches in either the first or the second inning. 37 pitches the other day, the most that he's thrown in an inning this year. He's had four 30-plus pitch first innings, and then he had that second inning against South Carolina that he couldn't get out of. Only made it past the fourth inning one time in SEC play. It's just some pitchers – I've had pitchers tell me this before, and I don't know if this is what's going on with him, but it's something I've thought about. They'll tell you that when they're in the bullpen, they don't have to think.
Right.
They just react. Hey, you get the call, get up, get hot. 10 minutes later, you're in the game. When you're a starter, you got to sleep on it the night before, and you got to think about it all day, all week leading up to that start. And some pitchers just don't handle starting quite like they handle the immediacy of just get up and get ready.
Well, but you look at a guy like Gackle, he was a closer as a freshman. There's not much more pressure than that if you're closing games in the SEC. So I don't know that the pressure's getting to him. I don't know. Something's just not right. And you know, I know he moved over to the first base side of the rubber. I don't know if that's given hitters a better look at it. I think if I'm in the box, I get a better look at him from that side of the rubber. But you got to go. You want to go where the guy's comfortable. But if it's not working, then you might need to move something and put him somewhere else. I don't know where he pitched from last year. I need to go back and look at film and see where he was last year, because whatever he did last year was working.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think he came in with his hair on fire last year, just a little bit of and just there's my growl. I know you always look forward to that.
We needed to get like some sort of like sound effect to play whenever you growl. Like we just, you know, every time we just
like a Tony the Tiger.
Ding, ding, ding.
But it just I feel like he's at times I watch him pitch and I'm like, yes, he's back. And then the next inning, it just doesn't go well for him. But look, the guy's super talented, and it's going to happen. But you know what? If he's going to scuffle, let's scuffle in April. I'm not worried. You know, Matt, I look at this team. I freaking love this team. I do. I watched them play this weekend. I went back and looked at all the highlights and. Man, there's so many things that you look at, and you got to love this team. You don't feel like they're ever out of a game. We're still – the whole lineup's not clicking, but when the middle struggles, the bottom picks them up or the top picks them up. I mean, there's – someone always steps up.
It's a team.
It's a team,
it's
yeah.
It's a team.
And they're going to be good, and I'm not worried. I mean, for me, the sky's not falling. We lost the series, but it's to a really good team. We could have won all three games, and so you got to look at it from that aspect and be really excited, and knowing that we have some key pieces not in there still, and we're still where we're at.
I remember a stat the other day, last five SEC national champions all lost a weekend series, and some of them lost two or three. Your point about Gackle struggling in April is a good segue to what I want to talk about Christian Fouch, because it seems like he's found it now.
Yeah.
This is two straight outings that he's put together that have looked like Christian Fouch, the one that we expected to see, not the one that we saw in March. I thought he looked phenomenal the other day. And now all of a sudden it's like, if he can pitch like that, and again, he piggybacked that on a good outing the week before against Missouri. Now all of a sudden there's another weapon in your bullpen that really you haven't felt like you've had for about 4 weeks.
So if you've got him throwing like that, you know, you could bring him in. If there's a high leverage situation in the fifth inning, you could bring him in and close the door, you know, and then you got Wiggins to close it at the end of the game. But his fastball and his splitty, the splitty was ridiculous. And he made the Georgia hitters look just dumbfounded. They had no answer for that pitch. And then when they're thinking splitty, those fastball by him. So, man, he looked really good, and I hope he can keep it going.
I thought Carson Wiggins looked really good for his first inning yesterday. Was really sharp. Because not only are those Georgia's, you know, the heart of the order, all three of those guys are All-America-type players. I mean, Burnett and Zaborski right now are potentially going to be All-Americans with the type of numbers they're putting up. And Trey Phelps was a preseason All-American who hasn't played a whole lot because of injury. And he made him look funny.
Yeah, he did. I mean, that you throw 101, 102 with a nasty slider.
Somebody said he hit 102 on a fastball yesterday.
Yeah, I was listening to Phil. It was 102 on TrackMan. I think the board cheated him at 101. But, yeah, it was 102 on TrackMan. And it's a nice, easy 102. He might be throwing 105, 106 by the time he's a junior. But I thought we did pretty well. We handled Zabrowski pretty well. You know, there was a situation on Friday night where Root was pitching to Zabrowski, first base open, and I'm thinking, oh, why don't we just put him on right here? And he ended up striking him out, so it worked out really well. I think he struck him out with 3-2 cutter down and in, but yeah, I thought we did a good job with him all weekend.
Wiggins is going to be a draft-eligible sophomore, by the way.
Oh, that's right.
You may not get to see him throw 105, 106 as a junior.
You'll throw 104 as a sophomore.
The thing with he and Fouts is it looks so easy coming out. I mean, it's like, that's 99, that's 100, that's 101. It doesn't look like they're throwing hard at all.
Yeah, when you're watching them throw, it's like they're just playing catch. I've said all along, it looked like, to me, Fouts could throw 110 if he really tried. It's the easiest 98, 99, 100 that you've ever seen. And the same with Wiggins. I think what makes Wiggins so tough, though, is that the slider off of that fastball comes out of the same slot. And, I mean, it's a big league slider.
Tunneling, right?
Yep.
So it looks like Gage Wood might be back this week for the A&M series. Talk over the weekend is that Parker Coyle is coming along quicker than was originally expected. Yes. Maybe you're looking at, you know, another few weeks for him being out, but you know, maybe he's back in the regular season now as opposed to getting back somewhere around the time of the SEC tournament regionals. And I feel like, you know, those are both really positive developments.
Absolutely. Getting those two guys back will be a game changer. You know, it'll take a little bit for Gage to get back up to, you know, I don't know how much he's been throwing. I didn't ask how his bullpen went, how many pitches or anything, but just having him back in there, his presence alone will be really important for this team. And if you look at A&M, you know, we're getting them when they're hot all of a sudden. Of course, South Carolina can get a team hot, but they scored a lot of runs against.
They hit two grand slams in the ninth inning to come back, and they were down like 10, 11 runs in that game.
So what they won? They won Thursday 1-0, and then
they won 8-7 in the first game against Carolina.
Oh, they did.
Yeah, 8-7.
Oh, I thought it was 1-0. I got the score wrong.
they scored a lot of runs over the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, 17.
They run rolled them, and then
So, and then you know, if you look at other teams, do you watch any of Tennessee? I've watched some of Tennessee's games. There's two things they don't do well. So They won the series on Sunday. They beat Ole Miss 10-8. Mm-hmm. It was an ugly game. Tennessee made four errors. Their pitchers do not hold runners at all. I mean, they're so slow to the plate. We're going to steal on them all day if we get them first, which we will. I thought Tennessee, they kicked the ball around a lot. They just played sloppy, lackadaisical. You know, so they're not what I thought they were going to be. I mean, they got talent. They're a good team, but we're better than they are.
They can hit it, but yeah, you got to do more than hit the ball. Some other, you know, outcomes over the weekend, surprised a little bit by what OU did to Vanderbilt, beat mm-hmm. them 2 of 3, and Norman beat them real bad in game 2, and then Vanderbilt came back and won big yesterday to avoid the sweep. Really, the outcome of the weekend that caught my attention the most was that Auburn swept LSU.
Yeah,
how about that? That's big time.
Didn't see that one coming. Mm-mm. So, but that's good. I like to see that.
That was in Auburn. Auburn won yesterday 3-2 to complete the sweep. I suspect that LSU is going to fall in the rankings quite a bit today. Mississippi State went to Alabama and won the series with a 4-2 win yesterday. Alabama, here they go. I mean, yeah, it's like, it's, you remember the yodeler on The Price is Right? You know, he'd get up to the yeah. top and then he'd just fall off the cliff. That's kind of what I feel like Alabama is year after year.
You know, you're right. They get off to a great start every year, but, you know, they're talented, so we'll see what happens. You know, the series that I was watching a lot was the Texas Kentucky series, and mm-hmm. those were all close games. I mean, they could have gone either way.
Kentucky had, well, they had the tying run in scoring position yesterday, and Texas got out of it. Kentucky beat them in 15 innings, I think it was, on Saturday. And sometimes when a team wins like that, you feel like that can beat the losing team multiple times.
Right.
And so, as much as you don't want to give credit to Texas, I feel like that's a little bit of a credit to Texas, the fact that they were able to come back and keep that from costing them the series.
Yeah, you're right. They came back and won 5-4 on Sunday. But the fact that those games, I don't know how good Kentucky is, but, you know.
They're not last year's Kentucky.
Yeah, I mean they played them close. I mean, every game. So we'll see.
Arkansas, they're still in good position in terms of the SEC standings. They're actually just a game behind Texas for first place in the league. They're a game ahead of Tennessee, Georgia, a couple of games back. Got LSU at 10 wins. Auburn, Ole Miss, Alabama, and Vanderbilt all have winning records right now. You look down at the bottom, and there's Missouri, 0-15 after losing 3 to Florida. I thought this might be the weekend for them to snag one, and they came close, but they didn't do it. I think 0-30 is a possibility with this team.
I think it is. I don't know. I don't know how they could win a game, Matt. I really don't. And I'm really happy that I'm pulling for Florida. I really am. I like O'Sullivan. I'm pulling for them. I'm glad they got the sweep there. But yeah, they may not win a game. Well, we said it when they left here that they are not a good team. They don't do anything well. They really don't.
South Carolina is not as bad as Missouri, but they're not a whole lot ahead of them either. I mean, I'm not impressed with them at all.
Yeah, I feel bad for Paul Maneri too, because yeah, there's not a lot to work with right there. He'll build that back up though, but yeah, they're not a very good team either.
So we'll get out of here on this. The next 2 weeks are very interesting because you got A&M here this weekend, short week turnaround, and then you've got the Florida series next week. These are two teams that are obviously really talented, but a lot of people, I don't think anybody in the Hunt Center is going to overlook these two teams. But I think a lot of people are going to look at them and say, well, you know, A&M's 6-9 in the league, Florida's 4-11. These ought to be two series that you win. I think Arkansas should win the two series, but you got both of these teams now where it's like now they're starting to kind of maybe play a little bit more at the level of what was expected of them.
Hey, when you get hot, I mean, there's talent. You look at every team in the Southwest Conference except the last team we just mentioned.
Southeastern. Go back to your playing days, SWC.
but you know, anything can happen, and it's crazy. You get a team that's hot, like all of a sudden, you know, A&M's, I mean, they're crushing the ball. They come into town, anything can happen. I feel really good about it. And in Florida, it's huge for Florida to get a sweep. Even though it's against Missouri, it's a sweep in the South, in the SEC.
Did you almost do it again?
I almost did. Now you're in my head.
Rice and Baylor aren't walking through that door, Bubba.
No. So, yeah, anything can happen. But I feel good about the next two series. And then, you know, watching seeing LSU get swept, I mean, that's encouraging too. I mean, it just goes to show you that anything can happen. And we say it all the time, but people don't – I don't think the fans, as good as our fans are, I don't think they appreciate how hard it is to win and win series in the SEC. It's just hard.
And the season always proves that teams are not as invincible as the rankings make them look in right. the preseason. There's chinks in every one of these teams. And so it'll be interesting to see how this goes. You can hear Bubba tomorrow on the Razorback Sports Network, the broadcast against UAPB. It's going to be a first pitch at 6 o'clock tomorrow night. Hope that we'll see you at our website, wholehogsports.com, this afternoon. Hope that we see you on our podcast tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody.